If you would open your Bibles to the book of Amos, Amos chapter 4. Amos chapter 4, and we'll begin in verse 6. The Word of God says, I also have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and want of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. Also, I have withholden the rain from you. When there are yet 3 months to the harvest, and I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city, one piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered to one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have you not returned to me, says the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew. When your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up unto your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned to me, says the Lord. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, O Israel, and because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel. For lo, he that forms the mountains and creates the wind, declares to man what is his thought, that makes the morning darkness and treads upon the high places of the earth, Yahweh, the God of hosts, is his name. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I'd ask that you give us an understanding of this passage of Scripture and apply it by your Spirit to our hearts today. Father, that we would turn to you. Father, that we would wholly submit our lives to you, that we would turn from our sin. Father, and that we would trust you. Father, use your word today to turn us to Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The theme, as we've been looking of Amos, is Amos is a preacher of social justice, or incorporating God's justice in society. And so we spend a lot of time decrying the treatment of the poor, the mistreatment of many other people, the oppression, the abuse of power. But one of the main emphases of Amos when it comes to this social justice that has been lost in a lot of the social justice issues of our day is that justice in a society is derived directly from God's justice. And when you try to separate God's justice and bring about justice in a society, you only make things worse. What we want to see from Amos is exactly what Jesus taught us to pray, and that is that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I cannot understand how God would have me to live on this earth until I understand who God is in his justice and judgment and holiness. Now, one of the things that is a slight on the Word of God that is brought by many people today that Amos is going to address is that God's judgment is not just, because God is, especially the God of the Old Testament, is this capricious judge that who just loses his temper on a whim and just wipes out whole nations because he got mad at them over stupid little silly things. Right? That's the idea that many people have of God. But what I want you to see today in our passage is God tells the nation of Israel everything that he's done to bring them to repentance. And so the judgment that is coming upon Israel is justly deserved and comes from a patient, merciful, gracious, loving God who is just and must punish those who persist in their sin. So let's look and see. Verse 6, he speaks of giving cleanness of teeth. If you don't eat, you don't get stuff stuck in your teeth. If you don't eat, you don't need to brush your teeth. Okay? What he's speaking of here, he speaks of want of bread. That's not just that they ran out of good bread. That means they had no food, period. Now, you look at the beginning of the chapter, And he speaks about the well-fed cattle. Okay, speaking of the women of that day who feasted. So we know that this is not a perpetual thing, but we know that God had given to the nation of Israel, he had given them famine where everyone was starving, and he'd given them feasting where everyone was full. Yet when they were full, they turned their backs on God, and when they were starving, they refused to repent and turn to God. So God gives them food and God takes away food. It doesn't make a difference. They're going to reject God. Notice verse 7. He speaks of withholding rain. But not just withholding rain. He gives an abundance of rain in some places and no rain in other places. Yet, his conclusion in verse 8 is whether in drought or drowning, they won't turn to the Lord. Whether they have an abundance of rain or no rain at all. Either way, it doesn't matter whether God blesses them or God withholds the blessing. They're going to continue on in their sin, which we've looked at previously, all the oppression, the sinfulness, the mistreatment of the poor, the mistreatment of others, the idolatry. You go on in verse 9. He speaks of diseases that came upon their plants, about a pest that would come and devour their cash crops. Okay? What he's speaking of here is them losing their money. Okay? This is an agrarian society. When it speaks of the olive trees, it's not, oh no, you don't get olives in your salad. No, that's their export. You don't get money because you don't have a crop. That's what it's referencing here. So they had wealth and they didn't turn to the Lord. So God gave them poverty and they didn't turn to the Lord. Wealth, poverty, it doesn't matter. They're going to continue on in their sin. Keep reading. Verse 10, he begins to go over a whole bunch of other things. Disease. When they were healthy, they didn't turn to the Lord. And when God gave them disease, they didn't turn to the Lord. He goes and speaks about their young men being slain in war. When they had peace, they didn't turn to the Lord. When they have war, they won't turn to the Lord. When they have victory in war, they won't turn to the Lord. When they have defeat in war, they won't turn to the Lord. Notice what he speaks of next. He says, I've taken away your horses. When they came back victorious with spoil, and God gave them all the wealth of their enemies, they didn't turn to the Lord. And when the enemies invade their land and take away all their wealth and leave them in poverty, they don't return to the Lord. Keep reading. I have made the stink of your camps to come up to your nostrils. We as Americans have been very blessed, and that for many, 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 many years, all the wars we've engaged in have been on foreign soil. Okay? And so when we think of war, we have a very nice view of it. Okay, unless you're a veteran that's been overseas and you've experienced the horrors of war. For us, we just study it in history books, and we've never seen buildings blown to pieces and dead bodies in the streets. When he's speaking here, what he's saying is the war was actually in Israel, and they could wake up in the morning and smell the rotting corpses of their own children who died just over the hill. Okay, that type of defeat. And they still didn't turn to the Lord. Okay. When the war was literally in their backyard and their children were literally dead in their backyard, they still refused to repent. Verse 11. Excuse me. I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Entire cities have been wiped out by invading armies. Yet the remaining cities didn't return. Now I want you to notice the grace of God. He says, you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. The people that remain were like a huge bonfire where somebody reached in and grabbed a stick, pulled it out, and then poured water on it or beat the fire out and saved that stick. So it was scorched, but survived. And this is what he says. Amos says, every single one of you here today hearing my voice and the nation of Israel, you survived the drought, the famine, the disease, the poverty, the hunger. You just survived the war because God in His grace reached in and pulled you out. As the cities around you were slaughtered, as people died in your backyard, God reached out, pulled you out to give you another chance. God has been gracious to you. God has been merciful to you. And God has spared your life. What is his conclusion? Yet you still didn't turn. Notice here the patience and forbearance, the mercy, the love of God. What more could you ask of God? What more do you want him to do? You know, I've worked with people and I know people who are angry with God, mad with God, and they have this idea that when they die and they come before the throne of God, they're going to walk in and give God a piece of their mind because apparently God didn't do everything right. Let's just stop for a minute. You want to judge this judge after all the good that he did and all the discipline that he gave? And they still continued on. Think of it this way. As a parent, you come to your child and you say, if you clean your bedroom, I'll give you ice cream for dinner. And they don't. So you come in and say, if you don't clean your bedroom, you're grounded. And they don't. Let me ask you, what reason does that child have to complain? You offered them blessing and they rejected it. You offered them discipline and they rejected it. That's what God has done with the nation of Israel. I don't know about you, but I don't know of a single person in the history of the world that's this patient with people. I mean, look at the patience, the mercy, the grace that God has given to them. Look at the lengths and the extent that God has gone. Can we not conclude what Scripture says, that God has no delight in the death of the wicked, but that he would turn from his way? I mean, can we conclude what Isaiah asked when he sings the song of the vineyard? What more could I have done for my vineyard? What more do you want God to do, nation of Israel? What is it going to take for you to turn from your sin? That's the question he's asking. And he gives the answer here in verse 12. Okay, I've tried everything, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to judge you. Be prepared to meet me. Okay, he's the judge that offered the guy, well, if you go do this, you know, pretrial diversion. No, I don't want to do that. Well, I'll throw you in jail and then lock it. You know, throw away the key. Oh, I don't want to do that. Okay, tomorrow you're declared guilty. You're coming. You're getting your sentence. I've tried everything. I've worked every way, shape, or form to try to work this out. No more plea deals. No more bargains. Judgment day. Prepare to meet your God. And then verse 13. He concludes with the hand of God's providence in all of creation. He that forms the mountains, creates the winds. He speaks here of creation, that God is the one who orchestrates it and is over it all. Declares to man what is his thought. Who knows man's thought and controls the actions of men, foreign nations invading, all of those things. That makes the morning darkness, treads upon the high places of the earth. Yahweh, the God of hosts, is his name. In Acts 17, Paul, speaking at Mars Hill, says that God sets the bounds of our habitations that we would seek him. In other words, what it says here in the last verse of chapter 4 of Amos is that God orchestrates every single facet of your life. He is in control of every single thing, and he has done it all so that you would repent and turn to him. Every bit of it. Every bit of judgment, every bit of blessing. Every interaction with an invading army, every victory, every interaction with another person, he knows man's thoughts. He has worked through the mountains, through the winds, through the morning, through the darkness, through everything. God has done it all to bring the nation of Israel to repent, and they won't. So it's time for judgment. That's what this passage of Scripture means. Now, I am not very old. I am 34. My memory is not the best in the world. I know that's sad. When I'm 70, I hate to see what it'd be like then. But let me just tell you a little bit about what I remember in my lifetime about the nation in which we live. We have had in the last few years, record-breaking hurricanes hitting at random times in New York, New Orleans, etc. We've also had, I think it was a record 10 years without a hurricane actually touching the state of Florida. Now, I want you to let this sink in. Peace, storm. When we had 10 years without a storm, did we turn to the Lord? No. When record-breaking storm after record-breaking storm came, did we turn to the Lord? No. In my time here, we have had record-breaking drought. I know it's hard to believe after the summer, because we had record-breaking rain this summer. Did we turn to the Lord in times of drought? No. Did we turn to the Lord in times of rain? No. In my short lifetime, we have experienced one of the greatest financial crises in the history of this country. Did we turn to the Lord? No. We're also right now in one of the greatest times of economic prosperity in the history of the world. Did we turn to the Lord? No. Okay. We can keep going. Okay. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. In my lifetime, if you are a Republican, you've had the best president and the worst president. And if you're a Democrat, you've had the best president and the worst president. Did you turn to the Lord when you had the best? No. Did you turn to the Lord when you had the worst? No. We've had terror attacks. We've had wars. We've had peace. And you know what you see within our nation? People still refuse to return. Let's speak to you individually. In the last few years of your life, have you not had great health and very poor health? Great times with financial blessings and also times when you wondered if you could pay the bills? I mean, if we were just to look at the last 10 years of your life, even those of you who are young, can't you see all the good things God has done? And can't you see all the ways in which God has disciplined you? Let me ask you, what did you do with that? Did you turn to the Lord? Or did you persist in the way you were going? You see, God has dealt with us the same way He has dealt with His people here. And in many respects, each one of us in this room is a firebrand plucked out of the burning. We've had some life-threatening illness where God spared our life. We've had some financial calamity where God came through at the last minute and paid our bills. We've had some huge family crisis where our whole family could fall apart, yet God preserved it. We have had God work in so many different ways in our lives by blessing us and by disciplining us. But let me just ask you this. Have you really dedicated your life to the Lord in light of that? Have you really dealt with your besetting sins? Have you truly repented and sought victory over them? Have you devoted your life to the Lord? Have you turned to Christ? You may be here and not a believer. Have you turned to Jesus? If the answer is no, let me ask you, what is it going to take? How much worse does it have to get? You're going to stand before God and say, you weren't good enough? No, 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 no. Romans 2. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. God has been very good to you. God has given you far more than you ever deserve. And what have you given Him in return? Well, if God would have just made it clear, how much pain has God brought in your life? How much clearer do you want it to be? You see, in many respects, every single one of us has been spared a tremendous amount of calamity. And the question is, are you ready to meet your God? Because God has done all of this for one purpose. And that's that you would see. There's nothing new under the sun. The way God deals with us is the way he's always dealt with people. And the question that I would have for you is, are you going to listen? Are you going to listen? I appreciated Jake sharing about the thief on the cross, because I know many people, I think even especially of a lot of children here, and you know about Jesus, and you know about the Bible, and you know about God, and you know one day, you're going to be saved, and one day you'll give him your life, but not today. Not today. I really know that Jesus did die on the cross, and I know that he rose again from the dead, but I don't want to turn from my sin today. I don't want to give him my life today. Prepare to meet your God. The Bible is very clear. God's Spirit does not always strive with men. There comes a time when God says, I'm done. That time is fast approaching for our nation, by the way. You can read this and you know what it sounds like? It sounds like the last 10 years in America. But this is more than just a national thing. This is an individual thing. Are you ready to meet your God? God's hand has been in every single thing in your life. He has been in every single relationship conflict. He has been in every single thing at work. He is the one. He is the God of hosts. He is the one that directs man's heart. He is the one that directs the weather. He is the one that directs everything. And he has done it for a purpose, and that is that you would turn to the Lord with your whole heart. Very short, very simple message this morning. And that is, will you turn? Will you repent? Will you deal with that sin in your life that you've been kind of keeping on the back shelf for a long time? Will you give your life to the Lord? Will you repent? If not, what is it going to take? It can get worse. I know a lot of people this past week looked at Washington and said, what a nut house. It can get worse. It can get a whole lot worse. You look at some of the calamity that's been in your life the past 5-6 years. It can get a whole lot worse. Would you remember what it says in Hebrews? Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. The Lord is doing this because he loves you and because he wants you to turn to him. The pain that has been in your life, unfortunately, most of us only learn from one thing, and that's pain. And that's God kind of tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey buddy, I'm over here. I'm over here. Would you turn to the Lord today? Application, very simple. Do not put it off. Do not put it off. You need to be prepared to meet your God. Are you ready? If you're a child here today and you've heard the Word of God, if you're an adult here today and you've heard the Word of God and you're not ready, you don't know that you are right with God, you don't know that your sins are forgiven, please talk to your parents, talk to a friend, talk to me, talk to Glenn. We would love nothing more than spend the rest of the day sitting here talking to you so that you can know that you are right with God. If you're a Christian, the teachings of Jesus Christ are filled with Jesus returning at an unexpected moment. They are filled with the master of the house returning when the servants least expect it. God has given you blessings and discipline without number so that you will be prepared for his return. Would you prepare yourself today? You know, I have a long to-do list that never ever gets shorter. It only grows longer. But many times what is left off is my soul. Many times I'll deal with that sin tomorrow. I'll deal with that sin tomorrow. I'll deal with that bad habit tomorrow. I'll go reconcile tomorrow. I'll go ask for forgiveness tomorrow. I'll write that apology note tomorrow. Do it today. Prepare to meet your God today. Open your eyes and see what God has done all around you. Open your eyes and see every circumstance. Listen to Amos as he tells everything going on around these people and saying, don't you see God's hand in it? Don't you see God saying, hey, I'm over here, I'm over here, I'm over here. Would you listen to God's voice today? Would you accept his discipline? Would you thank him for the goodness that has led you to repentance? Would you deal with God today before it's too late? Amen. Thank you.